In case I didn't say at the beginning, my name is Sten. In case I didn't have a chance to say that or haven't had a chance to meet you, a pastor here. So really glad to have you here. Let me get started this morning by asking you this. How many of you have heard of this riddle or this question here? In fact, if you've heard it, what I'm going to ask you to do is just to fill in the blank here. Here's this little question, this little riddle. If a tree falls in a forest and nobody is around to hear it, does it really make a sound? Good. You guys have heard that before. I thought you would. Now, the Christian equivalent, the Christian version of this question is what makes me nervous sometimes about the church. Now, if you're confused, you never heard the Christian version of this little question here. It goes something like this. And yes, just a little heads up, I did make this up. Okay, here's the Christian version of this little question here. It goes like this. If a church says and does everything that is right and true, but nobody understands what they say and do, are they really doing any good? Right? Let that sink in there. If Christians and churches and church people, if they come together and they do everything and they say everything and they believe everything that is good and everything that is right and everything that is so true, but nobody understands it, nobody's impacted by it, does it really matter? Now, just like the question about trees in the forest, you could argue this from all different angles. Maybe you're starting to argue right now from your seat. Okay? You could argue about this from all different angles, but that's not the point here today. That's not really even what I want to do. Just the thought of this it sets up an interesting question for me about what Christians do, what Christians believe, and what our visitors or what our neighbors or what our family or what our friends are thinking from afar, what the world around us is thinking or perceiving as they watch us do what we do. And it's this question that has really influenced this particular set of values that guide every single thing that we do here at Mid-Current Church. Guide everything we do, everything we say, everything we sing, everything we write. It's that question, right? If a church does everything that's good and right and true, but nobody understands it, nobody's moved by it, nobody's impacted, does it really matter? That question is something that has influenced my intent on leading Mid-Current Church to be a place that is both faithful and yet approachable in every single thing we do. And so this morning, I want to tell you more about what both of those mean and why they're so important. Before we do that, let me just remind you what it is we're up to here, why we're talking about these values of ours. We're in a three-week series called This Is Us. I told you last week, no, it's not about Jack Pearson in the Big Three, if you're a fan of the show. This is a whole series about us, about Mid-Current Church. We feel like regardless of how long you have been a part of Mid-Current Church, we want you to know what it is that we're about. I mean, as we kind of gear up for year number two here and step into year number two in the life of this church, we want you to know what we're all about. We want you to know what we do. And most of all, we want you to know why we do it. And when it comes down to it, we're really about one thing. I mean, we really set out to be a church that was dead set on reaching more people. Right, that's your neighbors, that's your coworkers, that's your friends, that's your family. Right, we want to be reaching more people for Jesus and teaching more people to live like him. And we think that the local church is one of the best vehicles to do just that. The problem is that it's not the norm any longer that people want to be in church these days. I mean, it's not the norm that people have had a good experience in church. And so we set out to create a good one. We set out to create a meaningful church experience for anyone and for everyone who would walk through our doors. We want to create a place here where people want to be, where they want their friends to be, and where their lives are genuinely impacted for the better because of it. And so as we set out to do that, right, this is why this church came to be. As we set out to do that, we identified some values then. We identified some values that are unique to us that we thought would help us do what we want to do as best as we possibly could. Because while every church should be, and for the most part is, about the very same thing, not every church goes about it in the very same way. And so we want to take some time to say, well, this is us. This is how we do what it is that we think God has called us to do. And so these values of ours are things that we are committed to, that we are absolutely committed to in everything we do and every bit of the work we do. So then let me remind you what it is we are committed to. As we set out to reach more people, That's what we want to be about. We want to reach more peoples. We set out to reach more people for Jesus and to teach more people, teach people to live more like him. We are committed to these things to help us do that along the way. We're committed to being excellent and authentic. Talked a little bit about that last week. We're committed to being faithful and approachable and committed to being irresistible and influential. These are the six things that we want to inform, that we want to influence everything we do, everything we say, everything we sing, every program that we lead or event that we create, every hire we make, every next step we take. These are the things that we want to help guide us along the way. Last week, we started talking about our commitment to both excellence and to authenticity. And I shared with you that I absolutely reject the notion that as soon as things start to get well done in church, that it means that this is all just a big show or a performance or that we don't care about God any longer. Never made any sense to me when people would come and tell me that they couldn't connect with God in some church where the music got too good. I didn't get it. It never made any sense to me, but I will say this. It is possible. I will admit that, okay? Never made any sense to me when people would say, oh, I couldn't connect with God there because the music was too good. Never made sense, but I will admit, it is possible. It is possible that church musicians, that the good musicians and that church leaders, it is possible that their hearts wouldn't be in the right place. And that's not a good either. In everything we do, we need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place. And yet, at the very same time, I also completely reject the notion that just because our hearts are in the right place, it means that things don't have to be done very well. Right? And you see that all the time, right? We mean well, so we can get away with things just being less than our best or less than what God would ask of us. And so for me, for Mid-Current Church, I've said that it's got to be both. That there's got to be a full 100% commitment to both at the same time, all the time, excellence and authenticity. I put it like this last week, that I want us to offer to God and I want us to offer to others the very best of our abilities all the time and the very best of our hearts. Along with it. That's excellence and that's authenticity. We want to have both. Next week, we're actually going to finish this series by talking about our commitment to being irresistible and influential. And I think that'll round out this series by giving you a great picture as to why we do some of the things we do here at Mid-Current Church. So I'm really looking forward to that. But today, I'm very excited to share with you more about our intent, about my intent to lead this church to be a place, to lead the people here, to be people who are both faithful and approachable, right? It's not either or, right? It's not one or the other. It's actually both. And, right, neither can get too far out in front of the other. This can't swing too far in one direction. An effort to be very faithful to God, to what he's called us to, sometimes unintentionally, in an effort to be faithful, sometimes we can get out of touch if we're not careful, right? Have you ever heard the phrase, too heavenly to be of any earthly good? Right? That I don't want that. I don't want that for us. At the same time, in an effort to be approachable, in an effort to be relatable, in an effort to be attractional, to be a place where people want to be, which is what we want to do, sometimes churches and some Christians forget then, in an effort to be approachable, forget to hold fast to what is true, right? An effort to reach more people for Jesus, the teaching of Jesus kind of goes on the back burner. And that's not good either. Right? They're saying, hey, let's just get people in the doors. Let's get butts in the seats. Let's get kids checked in. Whatever it takes, it's all worth it. And all that's great. I want all that. I want people in the door. I want butts in the seats. I want kids checked in. I want it all. But only as much as we're being faithful to what God has called us to. So I want to get to then what each of these is all about. I want to get to more and more about what this is about for us. And we'll start with this idea that we as a church and that we as people would be faithful. Hopefully this does not come as a surprise. It doesn't come out of a left field that a church would say, hey, we want to be faithful in everything that we're doing. This whole deal starts with us being faithful to God's word, with us being faithful to the teachings of Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's what a church is supposed to be about. If we're not about that, then we're just frankly in the wrong deal altogether, wrong business altogether. This has to be the starting point, has to be the foundation for everything that we do. Faithful to God, faithful to his word. Last week I said that in order to reach people that no one is reaching, which I want to do, I said in order to reach people that no one is reaching, we have to do things that no one is doing. That means at times in the church, some things need to change. Right? In order to reach people that no one's reaching, you got to do things that no one's doing. That means sometimes things need to change, but it's not God's word. Right? It's not the message that we read about. Right? Well, we'll change any method. I'll wear skinny jeans or bell bottoms or whatever. We'll do electric guitars, whatever. We'll change any method. Right? But we will not change. We will not ignore. We will not sidestep. We will not duck or dodge any part of the message about who Jesus is, about the life that he's called us to. It's all we've got. It's all we've got to go on. And it's really meant for our good. And this is actually the message that Paul, we've been talking about this great church leader, this great actually church planter, the very first church planter. We've been talking about Paul. This is the message that Paul is trying to impart to his young protege, Timothy. He's been teaching him. He's been training him. He's been equipping him to carry on the work that he's been doing. Paul's been about getting this message about who Jesus is to more and more people. And so he's been training and teaching and equipping Timothy to carry on this work, to teach people about who Jesus is. And here's what he has to say to Timothy about it all. It's in 2 Timothy. He says this, but Timothy, right? And what's he say? He's listed a whole bunch of things, which is why he's saying, but, right? He's got to stop. Before this, he's been warning Timothy. The few verses just before what we're about to read here, the few verses before, he's warning Timothy. He's saying, man, things are going to get crazy. He's saying people's priorities are going to get out of whack. He's saying they're going to look spiritual, but they'll actually be far from it. He's saying charming people, impressive people, they're going to come along. They're going to try to convince you of things other than what is true. He's saying, okay, Timmy, all this stuff is coming your way. But, he says to him, but you must remain what? Faithful. He tells Timothy, you must remain faithful to the things that you have been taught. He goes on, you have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. He's saying to him, hey, Tim, you know what's up, man. You've got this in the bag. You know what's up, and you know the people that you can, you know the people that taught you this. You know you can trust them because they're people that have seen and experienced this stuff for themselves. He's reminding him, Timothy, you know this is the real deal, man. And then he says this about God's teaching that we call scripture, right? That's the Bible when it's talking about being faithful to the scriptures. That's God's word. He says this about God's teaching that we call scripture. Here's why this matters to us. Here's why being faithful to what we call scripture matters. Because he tells Timothy this. He says, all scripture, Timothy. Not some of it. Not just the parts we like the best, not just the parts that sound the best, not just the pieces that are kind of easiest for to fit into our life. He says, all scripture is inspired by God. Some translations say it's God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God, and it is what? Useful. Not optional, not, you know, occasional, not it's just traditional. No, he says it's all useful to teach what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. And then he says this, God uses it. Right? This thing that we call scripture, he says God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Every good work. All of it. Living and teaching and dating and marrying and parenting and friending and neighboring, all of it, every good work. When it comes to our life, when it comes to our marriage, when it comes to raising kids, when it comes to forming relationships, when it comes to forming values, when it comes to forming priorities or being a good neighbor, when it comes to serving the world, when it comes to serving others or finding your purpose in this crazy world. The truth is, folks, we need something pointing us in the right direction. We need some kind of instruction manual, some kind of user manual for all of this, because the truth is we're not smart enough to get it right all on our own. And so this scripture, what God has given us, God's word, that's it. It's everything we need to do what is right, and it's everything we need to correct and to redirect us when we haven't got it right. And it's everything we need to then prepare us for what God has called us to. It's everything we need to do what's right, to know when we're kind of going down the wrong track, and it's everything we need to prepare us for what God has called us to. It's not common sense that does this. It's not reading, being a good person for dummies or, you know, chicken soup for the good guy, Saul, right? It's not any of this stuff. It's scripture. It's God's word. That's all we need and everything we need. It's everything we need to be about, everything we need to be faithful to God, right? I'll say it again. I'll change any method. I'll change any method. LED lights and blackout curtains, electric guitar. I'll change any method to get this into people's hands, but I won't change a word of what's written inside. That's being faithful. That's what we want to be about as a church. That's what we want to be about as people. We'll change any method to get this message into people's hands, but we won't change a word of the message that's written inside. That's being faithful. Ready for this? Here's the challenge in all this. This is what we have to, Mid-Current Church will be, you have to be about this. That's being faithful, but here's the challenge in all this, okay? Sometimes the most faithful, sometimes the most committed, sometimes the most mature, committed, faithful followers of Jesus, and I'm going to get myself into trouble here. I have a hunch. I'm going to say something and get into hot water with somebody, but I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Sometimes the most faithful Christians and churches are weird. Can I just be honest about that? Can we be honest about that? Sometimes Christians and churches and church people can just be weird. And if not that, okay, we'll maybe put a nicer spin on it. Sometimes they just do things and they say things and they act and talk in ways that are just hard to understand. It's going, I can't really engage with that. But they're so committed to God, right? So committed to his word, and they know it, and they believe it, and they're faithful to it, and they're faithful to what God has called us to be. But sometimes it's just hard. Sometimes, if I'm just going to be honest, sometimes, you know, being in conversation starts to make you kind of like cringe. It's hard to be in conversation for too long because the only way they know how to talk and communicate is in over-spiritual or spiritual, you know, cliche, spiritual phrases and analogies that after a while they just get to be too much. You ever been around Christians or ever been around churches like that? It's just too much. They're so faithful to God, and do not get me wrong, they're so faithful to God, and that is so good, and that is so needed. In our world today, to be that faithful to God, right? That they're so faithful to God, which is so good, but sometimes the approach that they take, sometimes the approach that we take to being faithful to God, it can actually start just going a little too far in the wrong direction. And then the problem is that they don't come off feeling very relatable to the rest of the world, right? Others are going, hey, cool for you, but I don't think we're living in the same world. Or, hey, cool for you, but I don't think we're talking the same language. Or, hey, cool for you, but I don't think our family's coming over for dinner tonight. Or, cool for you, I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time chatting with you at the end of the driveway. Or, cool for you, but, hey, I don't think our family's probably going to join you at church this morning. Right? And the result is that people kind of keep their distance. Christians can be so faithful, and that's so good, but if we're not careful, all of a sudden we can get isolated, right? Christians and churches can get isolated in their own world where what they know and what they say and what they do, it isn't really rubbing off on anyone. In fact, if it's rubbing anything, it's actually just rubbing people the wrong way. I don't want that. That's why there's another piece to this whole deal that I want to be a mark of us here, a mark of this church, a mark of us as followers of Jesus. We have to be, we will be faithful in everything we do. Yes, absolutely, unquestionably, all the time. But at the same time, we have to be approachable. But our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers and our acquaintances should feel like they could talk to us. That they should feel like that they can relate to us, like they could hang with us, like they could hang here on a Sunday morning, like we speak a language that makes sense to them. Like we're living in the same world that they're living in. Because here's the truth, folks. The truth is that there are some big words and there's some confusing ideas and some confusing phrases in Christianity, in the teaching of Jesus even. There's big words and there's big phrases. And someone has to do the hard work of making sense of those ideas. I'd rather us do that. I'd rather us as a church or us as faithful followers of Jesus, I'd rather us do that hard work. If somebody on one end of the equation or the other, if someone's going to have to do some mental gymnastics to understand, you know, matters of faith and understand matters of spirituality, I'd rather it be us. I mean, let's not just throw out a bunch of big words and phrases and concepts that are good and right and true and then expect other people to just make sense of it all. In some ways, that's why we may not, if you've been around for a while, in a lot of ways, that's why we may not use a lot of, you know, like traditional words that you might be used to hearing or saying in church. There's a reason behind that. It's not because it's not true or because none of that's good. There's a reason why we kind of steer differently or steer away from some of these words. Maybe you've heard them before. Maybe you're used to them. Maybe not. Either way, we just don't want to make the assumption that you know what it means. That just because you showed up here, that we can just say words and spiritual concepts that you know what it means, right? That's why we work hard to say things that you understand. We can use big words. We can use religious ideas all day long, right? In fact, I studied all that stuff. You want to come talk to me and use all those big words? We can do that if that makes you feel like you're going to a real church or something. Come and talk to me, and we'll talk about all those big words together. We can use big words and religious ideas all day long in an effort to be faithful to God. But then what we're doing is we're risking putting the responsibility on others to make sense of it all, for others to connect the dots. And that might be a harder step to take, so I'd rather we do the hard work to take spiritual truth and to communicate it and to model it and to live it in a way that is relatable and that is still very faithful to God. That's what I think being approachable is all about. And Jesus knew that. Jesus knew that there was something to be said about being approachable. And he was actually the best at taking spiritual truth and communicating it in a powerful way, in a way that people could still understand. He was known to speak about spiritual truth in stories that were known as parables. If you read through the New Testament, if you read through the teachings of Jesus, he's always teaching in these stories that are known as parables. And one day his disciples ask him why. These are his 12 like closest buddies. One day they flat out ask him, "Why do you speak in these stories?" Here's his answer. He replied, "You have been given insight into God's kingdom." He's talking to his 12 guys, his closest, most faithful followers. He says, "You guys have been given insight into God's kingdom. You know how it works." He's going, not everybody does. Okay, he says, not everybody has this gift or has this insight. He goes on, whenever someone has a ready heart for this, then the insight and understanding flows freely. But if there's no readiness, then any trace of receptivity, it soon disappears. That's why, this is Jesus talking. He says, that's why I tell stories. That's why I use parables to create readiness, he says, to nudge the people toward receptive insight. It's brilliant. Communicating spiritual truth in stories people can understand. It's brilliant. And really, Jesus had all the knowledge in the world of God's kingdom. But he could have just spit it out like spiritual truth bomb one after another. He could have let people, you know, pick up the pieces and try to fit it all together. And he would have been spot on, and he would have been so right and so theological and so true. And everything that he said, that nobody else could do it like him. He could have just dropped one after another and let people pick up the pieces. But he knew that that wouldn't necessarily do any good for anyone. So what did he do? He did the hard work. He did the hard work to speak in a way that people could understand, in a way that people would listen, and people listened. And people understood, and people were drawn to him. That's being approachable. That's being someone that the people still want to be around, that people still want to listen to, that people still want to be in relationship with. And Jesus set the example. He put that ball into motion. And then, right, if we keep going with this, then this great church planter that we're talking about, Paul, this guy whose lead we follow, he took it a step further. He took this idea of being approachable and being relatable. He took it a step further. He's not speaking in parables like Jesus was. He's not speaking in parables, but he takes a completely different approach. Look at what he writes about what he's willing to do so that others could know Jesus, so that others would learn about or hear about Jesus. He's always faithful. He makes that clear to us. But look at what else he's willing to do. In 1 Corinthians, he says this to the churches that he's writing to. He says, "When I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I lived under that law, even though I'm not subject to that law any longer." And he says, "I do this so I could bring Christ to those who are under the law." Then, total other end of the spectrum, he says, "On the other hand, when I'm with the Gentiles who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from the law, so that I can bring them to Christ." He makes it clear, I do not ignore the law of God. I am obeying the law of Christ. And he keeps this going. Verse 22, he says, "When I'm with those who are weak, I share in their weakness, for I want to bring the weak to Christ." He says, yes, and here's a little summary statement, okay? In case you get lost with all that, in case you're going, you know what, Stan, every time you get to the Jew-Gentile thing, it starts sailing over my head. He summarizes it all. Right, a lot of different people he's talking about, Jews, Gentiles, the weak, the strong. If you're lost in all that, he's summarizing it here for you. Here's what he says. He says, "Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. I try to find common ground with everyone," he says, "doing everything I can to save some." He says, "I'll do everything to spread the good news and to share in its blessings." He's saying, "I'll be all things." Some translations put it like this. He's saying, "I'll be all things to all people." He's saying, "Hey, I'll enter into their world." Right? "I'll be a Packer fan, I'll be a Packer fan. Vikings fan, I'll be a Vikings fan." Right? "You're a Starbucks guy, I'll be a Starbucks guy. You like Caribou better? I'll do Caribou. You like to hang at the local pub? I'll hang there. You like to hang on the golf course? I'll hang there." He's saying, "I'll talk their talk. I'll walk their walk." Obviously, there's a limit to this, and we can't be, you know, we got to be mindful of that. You can't say, "Well, if you're a murderer, I'll be a murderer." Or there's an end to this stuff, and Paul knows that, but he's making it clear. He's saying, "I'll enter into their world. I'll talk their talk. I'll walk their walk." That's being approachable. That's being relatable. And with a guy like Paul, who is committed in everything he does, who is committed to the good news, you know he's faithful in it all. I want the same to be true here, folks. I want the same to be true here. I want this to be true for any of us and for all of us at Midcurrent Church, that we are unquestionably faithful and yet unapologetically approachable. Both. At the same time, not one or the other, not one here and one there, both at the same time, unquestionably faithful to God and unapologetically approachable. And every song that we sing and every prayer that we pray and every kid that we teach and every message we preach, I want us to be faithful and approachable. Here's how I'd love for us to talk about that in the halls of this church or in the one big room of this church. Here's how I'd love for us to talk about this idea of being faithful and approachable, that we will work hard in everything we do, that we will work hard to draw closer to God and closer to others. It's faithful and approachable. That in everything we do, that we would work hard in our own lives to draw closer to God and at the same time draw closer to others. Draw others to us even. It's being faithful and being approachable. To me, that's what it's all about. That as Christians, we've got to be faithful to God's word. We've got to be faithful to God's teaching, to God's truth, to the teachings of Jesus. And at the very same time, we've got to be people who are approachable, people who can engage with and relate to people living in the real world. Both are so important. Neither is complete on its own. Each piece of this equation, it needs the other. Right? If we're actually going to teach people to live more like Jesus, then we have to be faithful to the things that Jesus is teaching. And if we're going to reach more people, reach more neighbors and coworkers and friends and family in this area, if we're going to reach more people for Jesus, we have to be approachable in every bit of reaching out that we do. So we want this to be true of everything everything that we do, being faithful and being approachable. And let me just be clear about something as I wrap this all up here. Let me be absolutely be clear about something in saying this. We will not always get it right. We won't. I mean, I had to make a similar confession last week about our efforts to be excellent and authentic in everything we do. I had to say, hey, we're not always going to get it right. I have to make the same confession today about our efforts to be unquestionably faithful, about my efforts to be unquestionably faithful and unapologetically approachable. Will there ever be any moments where I wade a little too far into the deep end, go a little too Bible geek on you? Maybe. That might happen. I mean, I studied this stuff. It's fascinating to me, and it's good for you, and there's so many layers to pull apart on this stuff. So yeah, there might be a time when I just, you know, there might be a time where I kind of bit off more than you were ready to chew at a given moment. At the flip side of this all, will there ever be any moments where the jokes were funny and the stories were cute, but the Bible felt maybe a little lighter than normal, maybe a little more basic? Will that ever happen? Maybe. And all I'm asking here on either end of this, whichever way it goes, all I'm asking is hang in there with us. We're not going in some crazy new direction. We're just trying to do something here at Midcurrent Church. We're working hard in everything we do to be unquestionably faithful and unapologetically approachable. That's the thing, among the other things that we're talking about here. These are the things that we think will keep our doors open wider. These are the things that we think will keep our welcome warmer and our impact greater here in this community, here in this region, here in this part of the world. It's these things that we think will make our impact greater. And I think the same is true for the impact that you in your life, in your family. I think the same is true for the impact that you can have in the world too. When your personal life, I mean, when this is what you're about, being someone who's unquestionably faithful and unapologetically approachable, when your personal life and in your family and your marriage and in your, you know, in your business and in your leadership and your values and your priorities, when they're deeply rooted on God, when you're faithful to God and who he is and what he's taught and what he's called of us, and you work hard to stay intentionally connected and engaged and in relationship with other people, people notice. It makes a difference. You don't have to quote Bible verses all day long to your friends and to your neighbors and your coworkers, but when you work hard and everything you do to draw close to God and draw close to others, people sense something is different. People know something is different. And you didn't have to say a word. It's the people that you go out to dinner with, right? They go to dinner with you. It's the people that go on vacation with you. It's the people that work in the office with you. It's the people that live in the same neighborhood with you. And it's these people that notice that something is different about you because they're doing life with you, but they notice something is different about you because you're working hard to be in relationship with them, but also in everything you do to be faithful to God with your life and with your family and with your kids and with everything. And they notice, right? And your message is delivered, and you didn't even have to say a word. You just had to be a faithful follower of Jesus and a good friend to others in your life, and good things will follow. Whether it's in your family, whether it's in your neighborhood, whether it's in your hometown, you know, wherever, if that's Hudson or Baldwin or New Richmond or River Falls or whatever, it's in your hometown, or whether it's in this church, I think the sky is the limit. The sky is the limit for the amount of good that can be done, for the amount of good that we could do when we are unquestionably faithful and yet unapologetically approachable as a church, as people, as couples, as friends. I think there's so much good that can be done, so much impact that could be made when we work hard to be faithful and to be approachable. And I, for one, I cannot just wait to see what could come. I cannot wait to see what would come of it all. What would come of it in your life? What would come of it in your neighborhood? What would come of it in your family? What would come of it in this community? What would come of it in your school, on campus? Cannot wait to see what would come of it here in this church, in this community, when we work hard to be faithful and approachable in everything we do, to see to it that we draw closer to God and closer to others. Can I pray for us? Let me do that. God, thanks again for this morning. Thanks for a beautiful morning and just an awesome opportunity to be here in this place, God, to continue to celebrate the things that are happening here at Midcurrent in year number two, God, as we go blazing into the future. God, thanks for everybody who has said yes to be a part of joining this this adventure, God, to blazing this trail, to be a new community, a new church in this area, God. And we just thank you for the ways that God, your word, this thing that we know and understand, we call scripture, God, we thank you for the way that it informs our lives, for the way that it gives us directions, and for the way that it helps us to organize and pattern and keep ourselves on track in the right direction, God, and in a direction that's honoring to you and that's honoring to others. God, we're grateful that throughout the pages of this book of scripture, God, that you've laid it all out for us. So we give you thanks, God, for that gift, which it really is, God. We give you thanks for it. And we just pray, God, that our impact here as a church and as individuals, God, we know sometimes our impact is greater just in the lives that we live Monday through Friday or whatever, God. So we just pray that as a church and as individuals and as families, God, you would help us to have a great, great, great impact here in this world, God, that you would use us to be changing, God, even the spiritual temperature, the spiritual climate of this region, God, of our neighborhoods. We pray for your help in doing the things that we have set out to do, God. We pray that our impact and, God, ultimately your impact would be great and that you would use us, God. We're humbled and honored and in awe that you would, God. And so we just offer ourselves to you to be about the work that you're doing here. And we pray these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.